The next item of business is to adopt the agenda. If there are no changes, I would appreciate somebody adopting the agenda with a recognition. Lisa?
So, Madam Chair, there's some changes. So the first one would be the recognition of Marge Stevens. The second one is the deletion of item number 8A under continuing resolutions. That there was a request to delete item A.
Which page is that? I apologize.
Page one of the agenda.
Continuing resolution.
Okay.
The next request is under executive session. Item number C, to delete that request.
Page four?
Yes. And then for clarification, the reports at the end of the session are at the end of the agenda on page five are all in open session.
Okay.
So I'll move to adopt the agenda with the changes.
Second.
Motion by Lisa Summers to adapt the agenda with the noted changes, and seconded by Jenny Webster. Are there any more additions or deletions or changes to the agenda? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next on the agenda is the administering of the oath of offices. If you wouldn't mind, step forward when I call your name. For the Oneida Powell Committee, Vicki Cornelius. For the Oneida Land Claims Commission, Donald McLester. The Oneida Land Commission, Bart Cornelius. And Secretary Lisa Summers will be administering the oath of offices for all of you. All right. Next on the agenda is the approval of the Business Committee minutes from November 26, 2014.
Madam Chair.
Lisa.
Motion to approve the minutes of November 26, 2014.
Second. Okay. Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny, to approve the November 26, 2014 regular Business Committee meeting minutes. Any questions or comments? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next on the agenda is the adoption of the resolution for the public use of tribal land law amendments, sponsored by Councilman Brandon Stevens.
This is a resolution that
allows access to tribal lands to non-tribal employees, as well as, I believe, contractors and emergency personnel, and also grants permission from the to the Environmental Resource Board to grant, I believe, access to those lands, as well as the ability to give fines for those who access tribal lands illegally. We held a, we held a community meeting, I believe, in, is it July? Is that from emergency amendments?
The emergency amendments were passed in July, and then these amendments now went through the LPA process and went to a public meeting on November 6th.
So basically, the public use of tribal land law was already adopted, and it came to our attention that unintentionally, non-tribal employees weren't able to access lands to do their job. So we enacted emergency amendments, and then in July, you guys went through the process to permanently adopt these amendments. And so today, you're asking the business committee to permanently adopt the amendments to the tribal public use of tribal land law.
Yes.
Okay.
Melinda?
Jenny?
Make a motion to approve the resolution, public use of tribal land law amendments.
Second.
A motion by Jenny. Jenny, can you adopt the resolution?
Adopt the resolution.
Yep. So a motion to adopt the resolution for the public use of tribal land law amendments. That motion was made by Jenny, seconded by DeHasse. Any other questions or comments? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Next on the agenda is the adoption of a resolution for the Office of Special Trustee Sign-Off Authority, sponsored by Councilman Stevens.
This resolution is just to update the sign-off authority, just to have it updated from the recent elections and standard. So I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution in the Office of Special Trustee Sign-Off Authority.
Second.
Okay, motion by Brandon, second by Lisa Summers, to adopt the resolution for the Office of Special Trustee Sign-Off Authority. Any questions? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item number 8A was deleted. So item number 8B, internal audit contracting exception due to a regulatory requirement, sponsored by the audit director, Donna Christensen. DeHasse, are you going to be taking on that? Okay.
Well, these are just pertaining to the continuing resolutions as a report out of actions taken by the audit department. So these are just the disclosures of for the requirements of the continuing resolutions.
Madam Chair.
Lisa?
Motion to accept the memorandum from internal audit dated December 5th regarding contracting exception due to regulatory requirements is FYI.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn, to accept the memorandum dated December 5th from internal audit regarding the contracting exception due to regulatory requirements. Any other questions or comments on this item? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Internal audit contracting exception due to the Oneida housing investigation.
This is pretty much the same thing. It's just a report out of actions taken during the continuing resolution for to be accepted as FYI.
Madam Chair.
Jenny.
Make a motion to accept as FYI the contracting exception due to Oneida housing investigation.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Fine. Motion by Jenny, seconded by Fawn, to accept as FY the internal audits memorandum regarding the contracting exception due to the housing investigation. Any questions or comments from the committee or community? Should be on the back table. It's on the back table. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Retail enterprise exceptions to resolution 92414A, which is the cost containment resolution. Michelle Dockstader. So just for the community's information, the business committee adopted resolution 92414A, which is a continuing resolution. And within that resolution, there was authorities given to managers to make decisions around exceptions to that resolution. And so we asked the managers to report back to the business committee when they do make exceptions. And these few reports, as you heard from internal audit, they reported that there was two exceptions that they had requested, and Retail Enterprise has submitted a report. That's all the reports are on the back table behind the room. Retail also submitted their report as to the exceptions that they had approved. So what is the pleasure of the business committee with this report?
Madam Chair.
Jenny?
Make a motion to accept as FYI the Retail Enterprise report.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Lisa, to accept the Retail Enterprise Exceptions Report as FYI. Any comments or questions on that report? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Gaming Hiring Status Activity Report. Louise?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll just give you a quick summary of our positions that were filled. All positions filled are within the minimum staffing levels. Let's see here. Pool positions utilized are always utilized when available. We have a number of positions that are need hiring for ET. We have two half-time positions offered full-time. That was in job count. We had two part-time positions offered to full-time probationary. That was in the cage cashier. And then one half-time position offered to full-time emergency temp, and that was a dealer, table games dealer. And then the gaming senior management team approved internal services specialist interim, which was posted on October 1st, and it was filled November 23rd. And one more, finance accountant, administrative assistant 3, went to a full-time ET due to three medical leave of absences. And that is it. And then our overtime report was submitted to Geraldine. She will report that out.
Louise, on your form, it says minimum staffing, yes or no. Can you explain that? Are you meeting minimum staffing, yes or no? Or what does that mean?
Well, we have a number that we want to stay at minimum staffing levels in order to operate. So some of the areas are not at that level. And some of the areas that we don't exceed that. That's what the number represents. So if the number is 25, then that's the minimum staffing level we need to operate that area.
Right. I understand that. But on your form, it says yes or no. So does that mean you're below minimum staffing levels or you're within staffing levels?
We're within staffing levels.
Okay, so when it says, like, in the finance area, no, what does that mean?
So in the finance area?
Yeah.
Let me see where you're at.
It'd be on the first page.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in the finance area, we don't have minimum staffing levels there listed.
Okay.
So it has to come forth before the team. The only areas that have minimum staffing levels are the operational type, the daily operational to run the gaming operation.
Okay. Okay? All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Any questions for Louise from the business committee? Community? Okay.
Madam Chair.
Fawn.
Motion to accept the hiring status activity report for gaming.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Fawn, seconded by Lisa, to accept the gaming hiring status activity report. Any other comments or questions? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Louise. Next on the agenda is the Legislative Operating Committee meeting minutes of November 19th.
Madam Chair.
DeHasse?
Motion to accept the Legislative Operating meeting minutes of November 19th.
Okay. Is there a second? Jenny? Motion by DeHasse, seconded by Jenny Webster, to accept the Legislative Operating Committee meeting minutes of November 19th, 2014. Any comments or questions on those minutes? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The Finance Committee meeting minutes of December 1st, 2014.
Madam Chair.
Jenny?
Make a motion to approve the Finance Committee meeting minutes of December 1st.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Fawn, to approve the Finance Committee meeting minutes of December 1st, 2014. Any questions or comments on them? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. There's nothing in community development planning. There's nothing in quality of life at this time. And under General Tribal Council, the first petition for Vice Leah Sujaj, Mike DeBrasca, Frank Cornelius, and Bradley Graham to hold a special GTC or to hold a GTC meeting to address various tribal election issues.
Madam Chair.
Lisa?
Just for the for an update for everyone, we're at the point where we can now accept the last analyses that we were waiting for, which is the financial piece. And then what we would be doing for the next step would be asking for myself to come back with a proposed date. Or actually, one of the things that we wanted to do next was to defer this to our first BC work meeting in January in order to develop some correspondence to go along with this, and that was part of the discussion that we had late last week. And then the next step after that would be for me to come back with a date for the meeting. So if we're ready to proceed, I'll make a motion to accept the financial analysis, defer this item to the first BC work meeting in January, and then for me to begin looking for a next available General Tribal Council date where this can be considered.
Support.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by DeHasse, to accept the financial analysis on this petition and defer this item to BC, the first BC work meeting in January, and also to direct the tribal secretary to begin looking for a General Tribal Council meeting date. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Any comments or questions? Brad?
Yeah, I was given some questions to ask here, and one of them says there was a 10% increase in the cost of the meetings between October and November. As they were referring to that, it was like the meetings were held at $200,000. Now they're saying $220,000, $100,000. Are there other petitions that could be put on this one too?
Yes.
Yes.
So you have any idea about when we would be having a meeting?
Not at this time.
Huh?
Not at this time.
More likely in the spring, I would assume, either spring or in July. So there are other petitions that are pending as well, along with yours. And if there's enough petitions and enough information to bring to General Tribal Council, we'll schedule that probably, I don't know, I would just say mid-March or April. Otherwise, it will go beyond July, because that would be the next annual, the annual meeting, the semi-annual meeting of the General Tribal Council. So we directed the secretary to look at the dates, because we also have to make sure that the Radisson is available and all those kinds of things. In terms of your question regarding the fluctuation of the cost of a General Tribal Council meeting, that always fluctuates based on the number of people that attend the meetings. And also, it's on the number of people. We don't get all the same numbers all the time, so.
Well, I respectfully ask that, you know, you get this scheduled as soon as possible.
Okay.
Because the longer you wait on this, the more problems there's going to be.
Okay.
There's a lot of issues that have to be clarified and taken care of here.
Okay.
And that's why we brought this forward.
Sure.
Right.
If we got to go into July, that's way too long. I mean, if you can get it done in March, we'd appreciate it.
Sure. Okay.
So
well,
we can get this clear, because we got a special election coming up in July.
Okay.
There's a lot of issues have to be clarified and taken care of.
I will ask the travel secretary to take that into consideration, Brad, okay?
We will do that.
Thank you.
Appreciate your comments. So the motion on the floor is to accept the financial analysis and defer this issue to the first BC work meeting in January, and also to direct the secretary to find a GTC meeting date for this petition. Any other comments or questions? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item B is the petitioner Gina Paulus to create a support system of paralegals, advocates, and attorneys to assist and advocate for Oneida enrolled tribal members that are engaged in any case with the Oneida judiciary.
Madam Chair.
Lisa?
This is actually for our reference as a status report. We did ask for a status report to come back in 30 days of where we're at, and that's what this is, just informing us that we are still anticipating the legal and the financial analyses to be completed, and that once completed, we will be bringing that information back to the committee for acceptance and then moving on to the next step. So for today, we would just need to accept it as FYI.
Joanne?
So you've received the legislative analysis. I am waiting for information I've asked from Wisconsin Judicare regarding how they manage their caseloads. As soon as I receive that, I'll finalize my report, and finance will be able to pick up after that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Motion to accept as FYI, the update.
Second.
Motion by DeHasse, seconded by Fawn to accept the update as FYI. Any other comments or questions on this petition? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is the petition from Michelle Danforth to change the United Constitution and bylaws in regards to membership. Lisa?
Yep. So this is, as you all know, this petition specifically, I was charged with working with the petitioner to come up with some next steps and some solutions to address the concern. And we are doing that in coordination with the Trust Enrollment Committee as part of the bigger Sustain Oneida initiative that we need to be, that we're also addressing. Unfortunately, the petitioner and I have just been kind of going back and forth. We have not had a chance to meet between her schedule and my schedule and Trust Committee schedule. We are still all communicating, so I want you guys to be assured of that, either verbally or through email. However, to actually have the sit down and finalize and determine like next steps, we haven't been able to do that. So for now, what I would ask the committee to do is to accept this verbal update or the written update as information, and then just simply ask me to bring it back when it's ready, and so we can delete it off the agenda.
So moved.
Motion by Jenny, is there a second?
Support.
Seconded by DeHasse to accept the update as information and direct the tribal secretary to bring back a final recommendation when it is ready, and then this item can be deleted off the agenda until she brings back that recommendation. Any other comments or questions? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a petition from Madeline Gensko requesting Saturday meeting to address 5 resolutions. Lisa?
Madam Chair. This is the initial acceptance of the petitions that were received on November 17th and verified by the enrollment office. And the next step is for us to defer the petition to the law office, finance area, and legislative reference offices to begin work on the appropriate analyses and for them to be a progress report back in 30 days.
Second.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Okay, motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny, to accept the verified petition submitted by Madeline Gensko and send the petition to the Law Office, Finance, and Legislative Reference Office for the appropriate analyses to be completed and direct that a progress report be submitted from those offices within 30 days. Any questions or comments on this? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next is a petition from Yvonne Mativier to raise employee salaries by 99 cents for those under 65,000 and with no layoffs. Lisa?
Madam Chair, this also was a petition that was received on November 17th. It has been verified by the enrollment department. So for this petition, we also need to accept the verified petition and then also send to the Law, Finance, and Legislative Reference Offices for the appropriate analyses to be completed with an update back or a progress report in 30 days, and I'll make that a motion.
Okay.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny, to accept the verified petition submitted by Yvonne Mativier and to send the petition to the Law Office, Finance, and Legislative Reference Offices for the appropriate analysis to be completed and that a progress report be submitted by those areas within 30 days. Any other comments or questions on this petition? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. There's nothing under unfinished business, on tabled business. There's no requested action because I believe we're going to take this issue up in January. So the reorganization of Environmental Health and Safety Division, Division of Land Management and Housing will be deferred to the January meeting. Under new business, A, communications plan for the four strategic directions. Trish?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We're looking at creating a communications plan in regards to the four strategic directions that the business committee adopted. And we were asking that this is just for information as the business committee already took action to request that communication plan be developed by the legislative Intergovernmental Affairs and Communications Office. And we have already communicated to them what we would like them to do. Specifically, we're looking to enhance the business committee's support and endorsement through communication and encourage the operations and help them understand better, as well as the community, what our four strategic directions are.
Madam Chair?
Lisa?
Motion to accept the update as information.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn, to accept the memo as information. Okay. And I'd just like to remind the community, and I would like to take every opportunity to do so, that the business committee did adopt four strategic directions on August 27th. As many of you know, we sat through months of a month and a half of strategy planning, and the four directions that we came up with were advancing Oneonta-Ogg principles, committing to building a responsible nation, implementing good governance processes, and creating a positive organizational culture. We also gave some direction to the treasurer. The treasurer gave us direction too, and we created a budget core team that created strategies to hopefully change the implementation and the processes for the fiscal year 2016 budget. So that would be this upcoming budget for next fiscal year. And we're looking at developing staffing models, looking at our labor costs. We're looking at really implementing the like services models, the like positions models that have been presented to the business committee previously. We're looking at supervisor to employee ratios. We're looking at our customers for all of our services, the actual need of each service funded by the tribe. We're going to look at producing surveys relative to our customer demand to begin to build data on how our services are doing and servicing our community. We want to look at minimum staffing levels and then cross-departmental utilization, allocation of employees' knowledge, skills, and abilities. We also want to create initiatives to develop value-based budgets, and we also want to create paths for diversifying our revenue sources. So those are some of the initiatives that this business committee said that they were going to move forward with. The communications plan that the treasurer is referencing is that we need to better inform the organization and the community at large to exactly what those four strategic directions mean and how they get implemented and how people align to those strategies as we move forward in the budget process and as we move forward with our everyday day-to-day actions from the business committee from a legislative perspective. So on the floor is a motion to accept as FYI. Any questions or comments? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair, thank you for that recap.
Yes. Sorry.
Nope,
I just want to make sure people understand what we're doing because it's important work. The next on the agenda is the approval of a capital expenditure exception for the cannery dehydrator. Joni?
I have a comment. Good morning.
Morning.
This request is to ask for the exception for the continuing resolution 09-24-14A for the purchase of a dehydrator. It's a CapEx because it's over $6,000. The dehydrator is 100% grant funded, including shipping, and it's grant funded through First Nations. Attached, you will find all the backup documentation relating to it. And the budget from the grant to show that we had $6,700 in there in the grant for this. And we're planning right now on purchasing it, and then we'll either install it at Norbert Hill in the cafeteria for Jesse to work with the farm to school. Because we are constricted right now in the cannery, if the cannery opens up from the elevator, then we'll consider that. There's no pressure point except closing the grant in April, so we want to get the purchase in place. 100% grant funded.
Jenny?
Make a motion to approve the exception to the continuing resolution, BC Resolution 09-24-14A, for the purchase of a dehydrator for the cannery, using 100% grant funding.
Okay. Motion by Jenny, seconded by Trish, to approve the CapEx expenditure for the cannery dehydrator. And the exception is to the resolution 924-14A, which is the cost continuing resolution. Any other comments or questions? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
And I thank you.
Thank you, Joni. Next on the agenda is the approval of the conceptual development of an adolescent wellness center by Jenny.
Madam Chair, about a month ago, we were requested to meet with Art Skinnador, Mary Kreischer from the Health Center in regards to a adolescent wellness center. This is kind of a leftover from the last business committee. Information went out to Great Lakes Intertribal Council. A request from our tribe went to Great Lakes Intertribal Council for support of the conceptual wellness center. However, that approval never came from our business committee, so we're kind of backtracking the request.
Madam Chair.
Lisa?
So just for clarification, today all you're asking us to do is approve the concept and continue exploring the opportunities or the options. We're not committing to anything else.
We're not committing to anything else. We're just exploring.
Okay.
And this is in conjunction with all the tribes.
Okay. And then who would be the point person on this? Would that be yourself?
Sure.
We could assign a backup as well.
Okay.
We could assign two people, and I'd be willing to volunteer to help out.
Okay. Only because this came from the last committee, you know, I don't have all that backup.
Okay.
From the last council. Once we get the approval here, then we can move forward with, I believe, retaking that back to Great Lakes Intertribal Council.
And it's my understanding that Great Lakes Intertribal Council is exploring funding to come from either DHHS or DCF,
yep,
or a combination of both.
Right.
So it's not.
Right. It's in the very early stages.
Yes.
Right.
So
compact funding as well.
Motion to approve supporting the conceptual development of the Adolescent Wellness Center with Jenny Webster and myself as the two contact people for this project, Jenny being the primary. Make that clear. Primary
support.
Okay. Motion by Lisa, seconded by Tehase, to approve the conceptual development of an adolescent wellness center, noting that Councilwoman Jennifer Webster will be the primary contact with Lisa Summers as the alternate contact. Okay. Any other comments or questions on this issue? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. And I have to note that Brandon excused himself for a brief conference call and will return shortly. Next on the agenda is a request to approve the Business Committee and Trust Enrollment Memorandum of Agreement.
Madam Chair.
Lisa?
Based on the conversation that we had around this item, I did double check on our next available Joint Trust Enrollment Committee, and that is scheduled, I believe, for actually next week.
Okay.
Next week would be it'd be on Tuesday the 16th at 3 o'clock is our next scheduled quarterly meeting. And at that time, I think then we can reintroduce the topics of the agreement before we do any finalization. So at this time, I would make a motion to defer this agreement back to the joint quarterly BC Trust meeting for December 16th, and that for the agreement to come back when it's finalized and ready.
Okay. So motion by Lisa. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Fawn to defer the memorandum of agreement between the Business Committee and Trust Enrollment Committee back to the quarterly meeting with the Trust Committee, which is scheduled for December 16th. And that the MOA come back to the Business Committee for approval when it is ready. Any other questions or comments? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next on the agenda is approval of the Wisconsin State Department of Transportation Wetland Mitigation Bank Site Intergovernmental and Limited Waiver of Sovereign Immunity. Pat? Good morning.
Morning. This is something that we've been working on for some time around this kind of opportunity. So basically what we're here today is for you to approve the intergovernmental agreement. It's worded in such a way, and Becky can answer any questions for you around that, but it's worded in a way that it's different than what they've done in the past. They always put it as part of the deed. When we do these kind of agreements, but due to the fee to trust process, we incorporated this agreement so it won't keep us from putting this in trust in the future. But basically, it's DOT working with the tribe to actually build a wetland on the reservation where we had planned to do a wetland development, but it's going to be, in a sense, double in its size because DOT is bringing lands to that to do the work. And then we would be required to maintain it in the future, which it'll be built as a good functioning wetland. There won't be a lot of maintenance in the future, but in a sense, then after 10 years, they'll maintain it, make sure that it's working properly, and then they'll turn that land that they purchased over to the tribe. So it'd be kind of like a gifted land, and it'd be part of our lands then in the future. But it would be a kind of a combined effort, a partnership through this intertribal agreement. So.
Who currently owns that land?
DOT.
Okay, so DOT owns the land, and then after you build the wetland, they'll maintain it for 10 years and then turn over the land to the tribe.
Yep. And it's right adjacent to our land that'll be more of a complex or a system, and it's one of the smaller headwaters of the Trout Creek. So.
Okay. It's 38 acres.
We own about 40 acres, and they own about 40 acres, and the combined 80 acres will be the wetland site.
Yep.
Good strategy. Oops, sorry.
Just Lisa? Real quickly, could you please describe very quickly how this fits into the land use, overall land use plan or comprehensive plan? Just for our.
Yeah, so part of that, the comprehensive plan had listed that we were to create an integrated resource management plan. And so environmental, working with Division of Land Management, the planning office, zoning, the farm, So it was a big cross-functional team that actually, the Environmental Resource Board, we created this Live the Sustain Grow Plan, which was submitted and approved through our management and then later presented as the BC as FYI as supporting the comprehensive plan. Part of that in there is that we would look for opportunities to enhance water quality, enhance wildlife habitat, and then also provide protection and creation and restoration of wetlands because of the importance of wetlands that have been flooding quality habitat, water quality, and overall, this is kind of what the land was intended to be and kind of just, you know, I look at it as more repairs on the lands. So that's how it's hooked into that comprehensive plan based on all those previous plans and then also what that land really dictates around there, because part of the report that Tony included, and I probably should be letting him talk about it, but it really looks at, you know, the water level out there, the water table, it's very high water table out there, would create some issues around not just farming but also residential, any kind of commercial. So this is the type of lands where we definitely want to say wetlands that has high level importance for all the things I mentioned. This is a great site to continue all those goals that we have around those issues of water quality, flooding, habitat, and wetland protection. I know Tony Vian.
Well, I would just emphasize that the water table is really high out there, and there's severe limitations for building and for septic out there. And beyond all the natural benefits that a wetland provides, improved water quality for Trout Creek being one of them, it'll also be a place for tribal members to go to. There's really nothing saying that we can't go there and, maybe mow a trail system through there, have a picnic area. It could be a destination, especially realizing that the DOT is going to maintain it for 10 years. It really is going to be a functioning wetland complex that will, I believe, be an attraction to the community or for the community.
What kind of anticipated expenses would we, in order to maintain it after it's turned over, so that we have a good idea about what we're getting ourselves into 10 years from now?
Sure. So I'll say that with our restoration projects, it's usually a 3 to 5 year maintenance period after we implement the project. That's to make sure it's the plant communities, any infrastructure is being maintained and functioning as it was intended to. This is part of a regulatory process where the DOT is impacting wetland areas with their road projects. They're required to compensate for that. That's why they have this full 10-year monitoring period to assure, ultimately, the Army Corps of Engineers that what they said they're going to restore, they did restore. So with that 10-year monitoring period, once that land is turned over to Oneida, and then it becomes our responsibility to maintain it, it's not going to be an additional burden to the staff. It's just going to be part of what we do, and it really is not going to require a lot of staff time after that 10-year period. Okay. It'll be just general maintenance and monitoring that we're already doing.
And I noticed in the legal opinion as well is that normally DOT would put a restrictive covenant on the land, and because of this agreement, they will not do that, and we would be able to place this land into trust once that land is turned over to Oneida. So, awesome. Trish?
He told to turn my mic on. Okay. So then after 10 years, it can go into trust, but then is it all wetland, or is it based on this map that I'm looking at that is usable land after that?
There is some upland areas associated with it. So essentially what the DOT will do is they'll be excavating to get down to below or at that groundwater level. They're also going to create some upland areas, which they do get credit for as part of this banking system. So those are the areas that would probably be the most appealing to access as a community member when you would go out there. As far as potential to build on those areas, that would be a restricted use with this. You would not be able to build per the agreement.
At all, ever?
And the Land Commission did approve this at their meeting yesterday. So the reason it would come before the Business Committee is because it is an intergovernmental agreement, and it does contain a waiver, meaning if we ever decide to use it for something that we're not supposed to, then we have agreed to consent to suit in court.
Can we use it for agriculture? I mean, once it's conveyed, because I'm looking at this map here, and it looks like not all of it is restricted.
Because it's a regulatory process, they're replacing habitat types that they've destroyed with the road projects that they're doing. So the goal is to replace that for forever, because the road is going to be there forever. That impact that the road caused to the wetland areas, to some of the upland areas. And so when you think of the way it's functioning too, that just because there's a line of here's wetland, here's upland, they are integrated. They're not separate from one another. They kind of rely on each other to function as a complete system. So you might have ducks living in the wetland, but they're going to nest in the upland area. Those are the sorts of restrictions that are part of this. You can't convert it back to row crop agriculture. You can't put housing there. Or if you did, you would risk being sued.
Lisa? Just a couple quick questions for clarification. So for the waiver, that would be in place for the entire, not just the length of the agreement, it's for after as well, after the agreement's completed in 10 years?
Yes.
Okay. And then my other question to that would be, how is the conveyance done? Is it just by deed transfer?
Yes.
Okay.
So this agreement removes anything from title. So it's just an intergovernmental agreement between us and the DOT.
Jenny?
Go ahead.
Or Haas?
I was going to
make a
motion.
Oh. Motion to approve the Wisconsin State Department of Transportation Wetland Mitigation Bank Site Intergovernmental Agreement.
Second.
Motion by DeHasse, seconded by Jenny, to approve the Wisconsin State Department of Transportation Wetland Mitigation Bank Site Intergovernmental Agreement. Any other questions? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Melinda. Thank you.
I think there's going to be a second motion.
Pardon?
He's going to make a second motion.
I'll make a subsequent motion to approve the limited waiver of sovereign immunity, number 2014-1336, as part of the intergovernmental agreement for the DOT.
Second.
Motion by DeHasse, second by Fawn, to approve the limited waiver of sovereign immunity for this item. Questions or comments on the motion? If there are none, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is a travel request for Mass Impact Week, March 8th to the 11th in D.C.
Motion to approve.
Support.
Motion by Melinda, second by DeHasse, to support the request. This is a request that is submitted by my office for myself. Lisa.
Just a couple of things. I would like to see possibly two people attend, especially if it's one of the newer committee members, to start, again, gaining that experience from the activity that takes place with Impact Week. And then also if we can ensure that there's coordination between our office, Intergovernmental Affairs and Communications, and our federal lobbyists to make sure that we're taking care of any other business we need to take care of while we're out there. Mm-hmm. So I would ask that it be considered for two people to go.
There's a request to consider two people in the motion. Either you can amend it or the motioners can agree to concur with your statement. Jenny?
I would like to open up that request to no more than three.
Okay. There's another consideration for up to three people to attend the Mass Impact Week.
Well, you guys are all here, so is there anybody that's interested in going? Pawn?
Come on, you'll get your exercise.
That's a lot of walking.
Only because, you know, somebody's got to be there to kind of mentor us.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that there will be a lot of that. They usually pair people up when you go and meet the congressional offices. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be a good experience.
So I'll be willing to change my motion to approve the chairwoman, Councilwoman Jenny Webster, and Councilwoman Fawn Billy, and that would be also an exception to the procedure, right, or travel policy. Is that an exception?
Three was within the policy.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So a motion to approve those three to attend Mass Impact Week.
Second.
Okay. The motion has been amended by the motioner to include myself, Fawn Billy, and Jenny Webster to attend Mass Impact Week in March, the 8th through the 11th in D.C. Questions or comments on the current motion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. The next item is the Wisconsin Tribal Judges Association quarterly meeting. This one is being held in Milwaukee, January 8th through the 9th. This is for the Appeals Commission for the current judges. I think the next request is for the newly seated judges. Is that correct, Jerry? I guess I'm not really clear of the purpose for the judges who are currently transitioning out of the judiciary, if what the necessity is for them to attend. I think the other thing is this goes beyond what's allowable within, one, the continuing resolution, and two, the travel policy. So even though they're separately requested, they're all for the same travel for the same department. So that's just my comments.
To mention for the Appeals Commission, there's a question as to why the outgoing current judicial officers should be attending. We have always been a strong supporter of the Wisconsin Tribal Judges Association. I have been informed by the Vice President that he particularly picked January to host the meeting for his County Potawatomi, as they wanted to invite the current judicial officers down there. I'm not certain what he has planned, but he has planned something for the current judicial officers, as he understands that this would be the last meeting that the current sitting judges, you know, would be being part of this meeting. For the second one, for the newcomers, for the newly elected judges, it's a time for us to introduce who our new judicial or who our new judges are. Granted, we posted this at our meeting, our monthly meeting, and yes, there was a request for more than three to attend. However, we know we're asking for the procedural exception, hoping that, you know, we could take all eight or nine that are left. However, we understand again that that may not be possible, especially due to budget constraints. I would ask that if the procedural exception be for five of the 10 judicial officers to attend. For myself and Winifred as this chief judicial officer, and for me as deputy chief judicial officer to attend, but I am also the tribal or the secretary treasurer for the association. So my request would be for procedural exception for five of the 10 to attend this last quarterly meeting.
Okay.
As far as the new judges go, it's requested and it's important to us that we would meet the our colleagues from the other tribes, and this would commence an ongoing relationship that would take over where the judicial system has held forth up until now. It's kind of tagging off on the new representatives from the Oneida judiciary. We requested all of us be able to go. In the alternative, I would say Judge Beans, Chief Trial Judge Beans and myself be allowed to attend, and at least one of our trial judges and one of the appellate judges also be permitted to attend.
So in essence, we would be requesting
a total of 9 people to attend, and that would be with the combination of the newly elected judges and the outgoing judicial officers.
I don't know if you want to address these independently. They are listed independently, so I'm going to move to that direction, that there first be a consideration on the first request for 5 officers or judicial officers to attend the meeting. Again, I'm not sure that it's clear that there needs to be 5. I understand, Jeannie, your role as secretary of the organization, so I think that's, to that extent, rational. And the other thing, I don't see budget and cost, so I'm not sure, you know, what the cost is, and two, if that's in your budget or not. And I think the other thing is a continuing resolution, and the other thing is the travel policy has to be adhered to. So those are just my comments. And Jenny, did you have your hand?
Yeah. Can you get by with sending 3 from the Appeals Commission to represent the tribe?
We can.
And then you guys would decide?
We would decide, yeah.
I would be in agreement for 3.
So there'll be 3 and 4, so there'll be 7. I think this is one event, this is one department, and even though they're asking separately, I think it's a little extensive. But if, are you making that a motion?
Not yet. I want to have some more dialogue.
All right. Lisa?
I would prefer to just approve 2, and they can decide.
From the Appeals Commission or the new ones?
From the Appeals Commission. I just don't. I understand why you're asking for the request. I guess I'm just not comfortable with sending that many. In fact, it's really unclear from the. It doesn't even really say how many. It just says BC is required, as we are requesting for more than 3 judicial officers to attend, but there isn't really a number given on how many, unless I missed it.
And that's why I made a mention. You know, we originally in our monthly meeting, we talked about. Of course, everyone mentioned, yes, they wanted to go. However, we felt comfortable at sending a total from the judicial officers, 5. Yeah, the request does say we're asking for a procedural exception because it does go beyond travel policy states 3.
Trish.
In your opening statements, you indicated that somebody invited you to attend. Was that for recognition? And I didn't catch who you...
Right. In talking to the vice chair of the Wisconsin Tribal Judges Association, he alluded to that there... a form of recognition, knowing that the current judicial officers, this would be their last meeting that they would be attending as sitting judges with the Wisconsin Tribal Judges Association. One of the cost ways we had talked about also is a technical, you know, sometimes our travel day would have been January 7th, returning on June 9th. However, we also talked about with savings that we leave the early morning, even though it's in Milwaukee, the morning of January 8th. So then it would only come down to one night stay versus two nights. You know, a savings there among in itself.
Any other comments, questions?
I have a comment.
Jenny?
What about sending two from the Appeals Commission and three from the new judiciary? No?
Well, I think just to keep us organized, we're going to stay with just the number two. Let's stay with number item number two under travel.
Okay.
With the current judicial officers and
address them separately.
Yeah, let's keep them separate, please, at this point. But I'm okay with your comment, but just as we move forward on it.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to support allowing for two travelers from the Appeals Commission to the Wisconsin Tribal Judges Association quarterly meeting January 8th and 9th.
There's a motion to provide two people to attend the Wisconsin Tribal Judges Association meeting from the current judicial officers group. Is there support on the motion? Bless you. Is there support on the motion?
Support.
Support by DeHasse. Questions or comments on the motion to send two people? Trish?
I just have a comment. I just want to be able to recognize that the request was in regards to the recognition of our judicial officers who have been serving for us. So that's the only reason. I understand we have tons of them from many years ago, but as our current appeals commission, that recognition from the Wisconsin Judges Association, I just think that's important. But we can send representatives due to the cost containment. So I would support the motion based on that.
Lisa?
Just to follow up, I understand that part of it, but it's a two-day thing. The first day starts at 9, and I believe the second day starts at 9 as well. Mm-hmm. So whichever day the recognition is on, I don't see any reason why for that one day everybody can't just drive down there, do the recognition, and then come back. I'm just saying for the two-day travel expense, it should only be two people. That doesn't prevent everybody from going down there on the day of the recognition to be recognized and come back.
Okay. Of course, pooling together.
Right.
Carpooling.
Right. Well, however they,
Okay, the motion currently is to allow for two people to travel for this event and the approved expenses for one evening on a two-day meeting. So any other discussion or comments? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. The second item is a request for, in the write-up it says up to eight to go to the travel. And Jerry, you stated that your preferences for yourself and Judge Beans to go, and maybe one trial and one appellate judge as well. The discussion at last on this item was possibly three people. I think being lead judges, would be appropriate for you and Judge Beans to attend. Beyond that, I'm not sure. I think, again, we have the considerations of the continuing resolution and the travel policy. And again, it is one event. It is one department, even though we have different statuses of judges. So what does the committee want to do? Anybody have comments, questions?
I'll make a motion to approve three judicial officers to attend the Wisconsin Tribal Judges Association quarterly meeting in Milwaukee, January 8th and 9th.
There is a motion. Is there support on this motion, or we can't have discussion until there's support on the motion?
Second.
A motion supported by Jenny. Current motion is proposed for three people to attend the Tribal Judges Association meeting January 8th and 9th. Questions, comments, discussion? If none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Travel safe. The next item is under reports, under executive items. It's the OTI report.
Madam Chair.
Yes,
motion to accept the OTI report.
Motion by Yahasi to accept the OTI report.
Second.
Support by Jenny. Questions or comments on the report? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is the Oneida Engineering Science and Construction Report.
Madam Chair.
Lisa.
Motion to accept the Oneida Engineering Science and Construction Report.
Second.
Motion made by Lisa, second by Fawn, to accept the Oneida Engineering Science and Construction Report. Questions or comments on this report? We didn't have representation today or yesterday, did we?
Yesterday was Bush.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments on the item, the report? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is the Oneida Seven Generations Corporation report.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Yahasi.
Motion to accept the Oneida Seven Generations corporate report.
Second.
Motion by Yahasi, second by Fawn, to accept the Oneida Seven Generations quarterly report. Any questions or comments on the report?
Was it just verbal report? Right.
The written report from yesterday.
No, that was, it's in the packet.
Okay.
It starts on page 198.
Okay.
If there are no other questions, all those in favor of the motion to approve the report, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is Chief Counsel report.
Madam Chair.
Ms. Melinda.
Make a motion to accept the Chief Counsel report.
Support.
Motion to approve the Chief Counsel report by Melinda, second by Yahasi. Questions, comments, Joanne?
If there were any questions,
okay. Any questions or comments for Joanne? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to make a follow-up motion to approve the third amendment to the attorney contract with Rebecca Webster.
Second.
Motion made and seconded by Melinda, second by Lisa, to approve the amendment to the Becky Webster contract. Questions or comments on this item? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is the officer's report. There was a revised report handed out this morning.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Lisa.
Just for the committee's reference, the updated information is highlighted in yellow. And those are the things that we discussed yesterday in executive session. Clarifications or additional action that we're requesting.
Okay, any questions or comments on the revisions that are highlighted in yellow or the contents of the report itself?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Yahasi.
Motion to accept the officer's report and to follow the requested actions outlined in the memorandum.
This motion to accept the report and that there be follow-up on the items that are listed in the report. Is there support? Support by Fawn. questions or comments on the report or the action to approve it? Is the 13th a Tuesday or Wednesday? I don't have my calendar. Mm-hmm.
January 13th?
Yeah.
It's a Tuesday.
Okay, executive. All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. If there are no other questions or comments, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is an audit report. There's a request to approve an extension of interim audit director.
Madam Chair.
Yes?
This item was Lisa? Deleted from the agenda at the request.
When you adopt the agenda?
Yes.
Thank you. The next item is approve limited waiver of sovereign immunity for A&L mini storage contract number 20140-1000.
Madam Chair?
Yes,
I'd like to make a motion to deny the contract per recommendation from legislative or intergovernmental affairs, and also that we pay any amounts due to A&L mini storage.
There's a motion to deny the request to continue the contract and that payment be made to any outstanding balance for this contract.
Support.
Motion is made by Melinda, seconded by DeHasse. Questions or comments? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a request under tabled business. There was no further information on this item. I don't know if you want to leave it on the table.
Yep.
Leave it on the table.
It'll remain on the table. The next item under new business is to finalize the fiscal year 2015 budget.
Is this being deferred to Friday's special meeting?
My understanding, there's still work to be done on the budget. There's a new deadline today for 3:30 for the directors, and there is going to be a follow-up meeting tomorrow of the committee, which I am already booked with a guest coming from out of town, and so I won't be at the 8 to 9:30 meeting. There is a committee meeting scheduled to address the budget item and one other item, a personnel item, for Friday morning. Mm-hmm. So I guess it would be appropriate to defer this to Friday.
So move.
Support.
It's a motion by Melinda, second by DeHasse, to defer this item to Friday morning meeting. Any questions or comments on the motion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is reports, operational reports from the Community Health Division quarterly report.
That'll go at 1:30.
Pardon?
That'll take place at 1:30.
1:30. See, that's why we shouldn't do that.
Right. Motion to recess at 1:30. Till 1:30.
The motion to recess the remainder of the agenda till 1:30 this afternoon.
Support.
Motion by Melinda, second by DeHasse, to recess to 1:30. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you for starting the meeting. Call our meeting back to order. We have a quorum. I'm not sure. Is Brandon gone?
Brandon just texted me and said that he is at a doctor's appointment with his daughter and probably would not be back.
Oh, okay. All right, we have a 1:30 appointment scheduled for the reports. And the first report is the operational report for the Comprehensive Health Division. Afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We've modified the format of the report to be in sync with our strategic plan that we had reviewed earlier last year. The three strategic initiatives that we have within our division are to the four specific areas are improving access to care across the health division, continuous quality improvement, optimizing technology, and enhancing our workforce. And of those four strategic areas, we have three strategic initiatives that we're focused on for the next 3 years. Accreditation, advancing technology, and optimizing staffing processes. Access to care within our division continues to be suboptimal. And towards the end of the report, we have certain vacancies that we're looking at your guidance on filling those vacancies. We've added providers to our delivery in the last quarter in family practice and psychiatry.
The next section is under the AJR CCC, and just to give you a couple of highlights from the fourth quarter for the AJR CCC, we continue to have an average census of anywhere between 40 to 44. We have had some issues in terms of the building that are still being addressed in relation to the actual construction. We've had some issues with resident bathrooms in that the flooring in some of those areas is not at the correct slope, resulting in when they're giving showers or baths to the resident, that water does not flow towards the drain in the correct direction. And so they are in the process of actually trying to finalize and determine when those repairs will take place. At this point, it's determined that there may be approximately 7 of those showers that will have to be repaired in the manner of having to tear out some of the flooring to correct the slope in those rooms so that the flooding is addressed. But at this point, they're trying to still work with Dan Skinador and trying to resolve how they're going to proceed with scheduling those to minimize the amount of disruption, particularly in areas where those rooms that are currently housed by residents so that they can minimize the impact to the resident itself. State survey was in August, at the end of August. The results of the survey were that we were able to continue our Medicare and Medicaid certification. We had some issues that had to be addressed, and those were corrected, and those were primarily building issues. None of those issues related to patient care. We did have one patient complaint that came in through the state in October. We just received notification that the nursing home was in compliance and that there were no significant findings with that particular complaint, so the state dismissed that concern. As far as staffing, we are still trying to finalize some of the staffing issues within dietary. We've had one individual that was on medical leave who was the dietary manager, and so we've had to adjust some changes in terms of the staffing, which resulted in some minimal overtime for some areas when that there was a call-in. Some of the staff had to stay over and work two shifts, which resulted in overtime, but they've attempted to try to reduce that as much as possible. under the continuous quality improvement or the accreditation initiatives, we are continuing to move forward towards pursuing accreditation. We have a formal team that is now in place that is working with our quality assurance team and the other committees which are existent within the division, which includes the pharmacy and therapeutics, infection control, and the quality assurance team that are all working towards creating and meeting those standards through the AAAHC, which is the accreditation that we're looking at pursuing. Our goal is to have that, at least the application submitted by the September of 2015, so that we can move forward with the accreditation of the facility itself or the division. We've identified some particular areas that need to be addressed in terms of safety hazards that were outside of the buildings, and those have been corrected. Things like nails or sharp edges or concrete issues that we've been working very closely with Department of Public Works to try and address some of those issues so that those things are corrected and modified as we move forward toward accreditation. Enhancing our workforce, you'll see some of the highlights in that particular area under the human resource management. For the final quarter of 2014, we had a total of 292 employees. First quarter was 292, second quarter was 289, and third quarter resulted in 290. And as of the end of fourth quarter, we had a total of 292 employees, 96 of those being Oneida enrolled, 23 being American Indian Alaska Native, and then you'll can see the rest of the breakdown from there in terms of the makeup of our employee base throughout the division. We have some critical positions, and these are the positions that Dr. Veer was referring to earlier, but we do have some critical positions that we do need to gain approval to be able to begin the hiring process and posting of those positions. Those include the pharmacist, which was vacated as a result of a retirement resignation. One is also the optometric technician, which impacts patient care. That was also as the result of a resignation. And then we have the need for two emergency temp dental assistants, which are the original approval for the emergency temp positions are about to expire. And so we need to be able to gain approval for two additional emergency temp to fill those that have expired, because we have had difficulty in actually filling the positions on a permanent basis. Those positions were posted. We've had some screenings. However, when the initial interviews took place and the wages were offered, they were not marketable. And so we resulted in not being able to fill those positions because the wage is below market. And so we're back to square one with trying to fill on an emergency temp basis and reposting the positions and hoping that we can get some staff in those positions to fill that. That also is a direct patient care position that needs to be filled. The financials, I'm not sure if you have any questions on those, but we did include the financials. And for FY14, we did not, in the consolidated health area, utilize any tribal contribution. The only areas of tribal contribution that were utilized were under the employee health nursing area, the COMP program, and the nursing home. So under consolidated, we did not utilize any tribal contribution in that area. Some of our successes include basically the fact that with the pharmacy, we continue to fill over 1,000 plus per day. We are looking at remodeling within the pharmacy, which would come out of our maintenance and improvement funds for the facility. The pharmacy is at the point now where, because of space, there's beginning to be some safety concerns within the pharmacy with the actual number of prescriptions that they're filling on a daily basis. We need to add some additional areas of space to allow them to expand to be able to perform their jobs in a more safe and efficient manner. And so we do have the plans that are already in process. They're not quite finalized yet. There is some still discussion that we need to have, but we've been working with DPW and planning to finalize that remodel, and that right now is currently pending the approval of the budgets for FY15. So that remodel is ready to go, essentially, but just waiting until we have that budget approval. Health promotion, disease prevention, we continue to have exponential growth in those areas. Some of that is due to the reasonable alternative services as far as the RAS points through the employee insurance program. So we've had a number of people that have chosen to seek the RAS points, and that resulted in them increasing participation within the Just Move It Oneida. So that's a good thing. What we have noticed is that we've had on average of anywhere from 175 to 275 participants at the Just Move It events as they have proceeded. And the next one is scheduled for December 20th, I believe, which is the Jingle Walk. So you're all invited to participate in that as well. Other than that, the only other thing that I know we had reported previously was that the Valley Bay Therapy for occupational speech and backup physical therapy began in July, and we have seen a tremendous increase in terms of the number of admissions and the patients that are utilizing those services, and so that has been a very successful move for us. We are able to recoup some of the third-party funds, which as a result has flagged us for Medicare because of the fluctuation and the actual increases in our reimbursements. So whenever there's a significant change like that, we get flagged from Medicare to actually monitor why there's been an increase. And so that is going well. It's a very positive result for us. So
update on the EMR. We have our patient portal solution was scheduled to be going live this week. There were some technical issues with our system, so that will be going live this month. There's communication that'll be happening through posters, also in the newspaper galley for the patient portal. What that patient portal allows us to do is to send information out to the portal where patients can log into their account and look at their lab results and look at their health information directly rather than having to give them a handout of half a dozen papers. So this really helps us with providing a higher quality of care and also communicating that information to the patient more efficiently. So we'll be sending that information out shortly. The next step with the enhancement of our systems is electronic signature. That is in process as well. And we're currently, once we get the software installed, we're also looking at getting, looking at the hardware, what hardware will be compatible with our system. So there's a demonstration that's going to be scheduled in the future. In order to get the electronic signature, all our areas now have Wi-Fi capability, because that is one requirement in order to do that. So once we have the and the Wi-Fi now is in place. So those are two enhancements to our systems that we're looking at. There are upgrades that happened to the GE system as of last month, and that upgrade went well. We did have some technical issues with the server this earlier this week, but that was very efficiently resolved within 15 minutes by our MIS department. We do have certain lack of resources within our health information technology area, which is mentioned in the report. The link logic manager and the clinical applications coordinator positions are currently are not filled due to cost containment. We also have a spreadsheet that we were working on as a team to finalize those HIPAA security related to IT, those procedures that we need to be in compliance with, and a lot of them are complete. Some are currently in review with the legal office.
So the main points that we're looking at in terms of requesting approval today are for those vacant positions that we have attached in the report, specifically the full-time pharmacist, the full-time optical technician, and the two ET dental assistants. I think it's important to note that the dental areas had salary surveys completed a year and a half to almost 2 years ago. Those positions were found to be three levels below the grade in terms of market. That is contributing to the difficulty in our ability to fill those positions. We did include those positions in the budget to try and bring them to market level. That was presented to the HR review team back in, I believe, July and August. That was presented at that time. And the decision by the HR review team was to hold on the request to increase those positions to market level. And so consequently, we have had difficulty in filling and will anticipate potentially having difficulty in retaining some of the staff. They do know that we did put the request in for market level for those wages, and it was in our FY14 budget and continues to be in our FY15 that we submitted. And that's pending approval. So those are issues that are contributing to the difficulty in filling that, those particular positions in dental. Any questions?
I was just inquiring about the e-portal that's going to get rolled out. Can parents look up, their children's records? I'm just thinking, for myself, if immunizations or they had their physical, and then a few months down the road the school asked for sports physical forms, can we access that instead of bogging up you guys?
Yeah, short answer is yes. The way the portal currently will be implemented, we're going to phase in functionalities. So the initial phase in would be more of the basic functionalities of the portal, which would include immunizations. We have a interface with the Wisconsin Immunization Registry. Now, that interface has been on hold more because of some issues with the state registry not being able to interface with us, but that is our ultimate goal, is to have this two-way interface, which will allow us to be updated from the registry, and we are able to update information directly from our electronic medical record to the state registry. So, yeah. That functionality would be available.
Any other questions or comments?
I don't mean it to be a negative question, but when we're looking at these positions and the services that we provide, mm-hmm. Has the health area done cost analysis in regards to whether we can outsource or contract those services and still meet the needs of the community as well as the revenues that are coming in? I know there's a balance there. There's a delicate balance, but I'm just thinking, the overhead is what really makes it improbable to continue at the rate that we have been going mm-hmm. at. So if we were to look at some of the services that we wanted to realign or redesign, has that been assessed before the budget?
There is some not specific to the dental area, but we do have some experience in outsourcing some of those services in the past. The one that example that comes to mind is behavioral health. We have done that. This was a few years ago, and it was not a very cost-effective exercise. The ROI was negative. The patient satisfaction was poor, and what happens with the services that are provided outside of our facility, we're not able to recoup some of those dollars. So, for example, if we provide a service in-house like we do currently with Prevea. We have a contract with Prevea that provides specialty OBGYN specialty services on site. So when they come on site, we're billing for those services. And we're contracting and paying for their services through an independent contract. When we do that, we're able to not only bill for those services, but also those patients that have medical assistance, we get reimbursed through FQHC. Now, if we provide, if we refer those services out, and this a similar logic would apply to dental services, then we would lose those revenues. And
What kind of revenues are we talking about? I mean, are we
The FQHC status reimbursement for every eligible visit, we get a reimbursement of approximately $472 per encounter. So if you have medical assistance and you come in and are seen within the clinic, you may have only incurred a minimal office visit or a standard office visit, which one might be, say, $28, but because of the services that were provided to you, they meet the standard of eligible service for Medicaid. We can bill then and get reimbursed through the state under the federally qualified health center status and get reimbursed at $472 for your particular visit. So for those individuals that have medical assistance, it's actually our ability to recoup third-party services for you and then be able to expand those services to other entities within the division.
That's for both Medicaid or medical assistance?
Just medical assistance, Medicaid. Yeah. Medicaid and medical assistance are the same.
Okay.
We don't do any reimbursement for Medicare because we don't have the population to be able to bill out Medicare. We do monitor that through the FQHC status, and if we do reach the point where it would be financially feasible for us to do that, then we would proceed with that. But at this point, it's not worth it for us. We don't get a reimbursement for it.
And those reimbursements are very significant dollars that we receive as reimbursements. And the way it is processed is there's a complex formula, and they input all our costs of providing those services and then come up with a per unit cost that we get reimbursed for per encounter. So that's a big revenue source for us that we would lose if we contracted that service out.
We have begun some preliminary exploration with the qualified health plan. It's through a dental program that we're working with, and Dr. Stemsky is looking at that particular program to find out if there's an opportunity for us, because they provide a number of dental services that are not provided here within our facility. But what he's looking at is the potential to partner with them to expand our access for medical assistant patients. And by doing that, if that would help us to be able to recoup some of that FQHC money for those individuals that they're currently seeing for Medicaid. And we're looking at it from the legality standpoint of whether it's feasible, can we do it, is there any, you know, reasons that we could not pursue some type of an agreement under those auspices, but we haven't, it's just in the preliminary stages at this point. So we are looking at other options in terms of what we can do to generate additional revenue. We can certainly look at the feasibility if we were to look at contracting out for specific services. I do know that we did do that in the past with specialty services, and although it was favorable and it had a favorable outcome, it resulted in a general tribal council meeting as a result of the community's concerns with the specialty services. But, you know, financially it wasn't feasible. We were in the red for providing those specialty services, and that was what we based our decision on. And those services were still able to be provided through contract health, but some individuals that were only eligible for direct care were the individuals that were impacted the most. But we can continue to look at those things.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Vaughn?
I was just wondering about, because the dental assistant's been posted for some time, and some people that did apply didn't qualify.
Yes.
I was just wondering, do they have, like, specifics of why they didn't qualify? Because if they get a letter just saying, not accept it because you don't qualify.
Yes, there's specific criteria that they are informed of.
People like that, if they're missing one class or apprenticeship, I don't know.
Most of these would be under licensure issues.
Okay. DeHasse.
Quick question about, I guess, alternative services.
Mm-hmm.
Chiropractic. When have you what's the status? Have you looked at? I'm sure you have looked at it in the past. And what is the reason for or against adding that service at the health center?
Basically, the reimbursement.
Even for if it's just offered for people with insurance, or it still doesn't.
The reimbursements are not significant. So it would be more of a cost for us to be able to provide that service. And then we would also have to look at expanding our annual funding agreement and our actually our negotiation with IHS to include that service if we were to expand that, which, you know, isn't a big issue. It's just basically we go back to IHS and renegotiate with DHHS in terms of what our annual funding agreement would be and what we agree to provide in terms of those services. But we have looked at chiropractic services. We've also looked at other alternative treatment services. We recognize that that's a request in the community. However, it's going to cost us to be able to provide that service. So, you know, it wouldn't make money. We wouldn't be getting, you know, a positive reimbursement on it. It would actually cost us to be able to provide that service. And that service has also been carved out of the third-party insurance coverage for UMR. So it provides minimum coverage, but it's a carve-out. So there's not a great reimbursement from our own insurance either for that.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Just one more question. Mm-hmm. Moving forward, if we were to look at processing alternative medicines, the concept for that, for the all the different things,
mm-hmm.
I mean, can a team be assigned to do some preliminary projections, like if and when we wanted to open up something of that sort that just specializes in alternative medicines or health care initiatives?
Yes.
Can somebody be assigned to kind of look at that and start designing maybe even questionnaires or something that, because if we have one person coming in saying they want something, that's one thing. But if we have an understanding of what's really wanted or needed in the community,
mm-hmm.
then we can grow to that in the future, you know, not necessarily implement it today or tomorrow. But, you know, sometime down the road, we could actually create a system that addresses that alternative care.
That's one of the questions or one of the areas that's also questioned as part of our community assessment that goes out every 5 years that's conducted, which is a multidisciplinary team that looks at surveying the entire community. Eric Krawcheck is in charge of that community assessment. It's also one of the questions that's asked as part of the quality of life survey. And we also conducted a community meeting over the summer, which we had a number of people in the community that requested that we provide information on that. So one of our community meetings last summer was focused on alternative treatments. We had an acupuncturist, we had aromatherapy, we had a masseuse, we had a number of other alternative treatments providers that actually came to the community meeting, and we had about 75 people in attendance, and it gave them the opportunity to actually describe what their services are, what they do, and then it gave people in the community the opportunity to actually see hands-on what was provided. And we had a real favorable outcome in terms of the evaluations for that, so that's also something that we're going to continue to repeat. We have actually begun looking at that as part of, I believe it was Councilman De La Rosa had requested a report on alternative medicines, and we do have staff that are looking at that and also looking at where other alternative treatments are provided within the state of Wisconsin, within the Bemidji area, which is Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and we're trying to get what their policies and procedures are as they have implemented that, and whether or not they are able to get reimbursed for some of those alternative treatments, alternative treatments including traditional healing. And that is also one of the issues that's on the state consultation next Monday, is the alternative healing aspect, and that's particularly under the medical, I think it's behavioral health and mental health section, that the traditional healing aspect is coming forward through the state consultation. I believe we provided the talking points to the Legislative Affairs Office for the consultation for Monday.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions, comments? Lisa?
Just as a note, and I'm not finding it anywhere, but in July, I believe that there was an item that was on the agenda regarding the development of long-term compensation for healthcare providers and professionals to improve retention and replacement trade and replace the trade back for cash requests.
Yes.
And I haven't seen an update on that yet, and I believe it was deferred till October, and we haven't seen anything on yet. So just kind of as a reminder to you.
Yes, we can bring that forward.
We need to get that plan back before us so that we can... I didn't see in the report anywhere either, so I just...
It wasn't. We've had some difficulty in terms of getting our group together to meet. We do have the preliminaries, but there's the financial piece that has to still be worked out. So that's where we're at with it right now. But
so just more of a reminder.
Yep. Yeah.
We had a meeting scheduled earlier this week, but it had to be rescheduled due to conflicts with appointments. But it's on our agenda and to do. So we'll follow up on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
And just one more.
Sure, Lisa.
Clarification. So then on page 6 and 7 of your report where you're talking about the enhance our workforce part, I see in the concerns and our actions needed by the BC, you're first saying that we don't need to take any formal action at this time, just the continued support and awareness to fill the vacancies. Then in the bullet later, and what I heard you say verbally was that you do want approval to move forward with posting those positions. So I'm kind of looking for clarification.
The bullet is in reference to the actual IT positions.
Okay.
But what we're requesting for is the vacant positions that we currently have, with which is those specific positions identified as the pharmacist, the optometric technician, and then the two ET dental assistants. Those are the four positions we're asking for approval for.
Okay. And you reviewed the continuing resolution, so you're aware that as division directors, you have the authority to make decisions if you need to, so long as you report them to the business committee?
We were advised we had to come forward first to get the approval and then could make that decision.
I don't think that's the way we've been doing it.
We have been having people come before the committee to make those requests. We've been having a combination of things, actually, and that's one of them.
Okay, I don't remember us doing that. I think we've all been getting them in a form of a report so far.
Okay.
So I don't recall us actually approving anything at this point other than accepting reports.
I think there's a schedule on how to implement, provided the budget passes, but the continuing resolution has a process in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Have it. So I guess I'm not inclined to actually approve the request for the filling the positions because the continuing resolution provides guidance to the division directors on how to proceed if you feel that the positions are detrimental to the operations. So I'll make a motion to accept the report.
There's a motion by Lisa, second by Trish, to accept a comprehensive health report. Questions or comments on the motion? Yes, Mr. Graham.
Turns out Mr. Bear and Ms. Danforth's here. I have some concerns. Now, like Wednesday, my dad, or this Thursday, or last Thursday, my dad had appointments. for 1:30 and 2. He got a call Wednesday afternoon, like 3:38, stating his appointments had been changed to 9 and 10 in the morning. Now, we should have been notified sooner. There's been issues like that. I've been talking to a lot of people that have been having the same problems, like prescriptions being filled, like last month. He called in 6 days prior. I got there last Thursday, or whenever it was, and I had to sit and wait because they weren't all filled. Now, I've had my meds changed. Dr. Veer has not filled prescriptions when a doctor's on vacation. So, you know, there's a big issue over there with pharmacy, with registration, and everything. There's a lot of people complaining. And I've been talking to a lot of the employees, everybody. Something's got to be done over there with what's going on. Now, my aunt was there that day. They had called in prior too, and her prescriptions weren't all ready. I've had this issue all year long with pharmacy. I've talked to Diane about it. I've talked to the director about it over there. And I just wanted to bring this up today. That's why I come back. There's some issues and concerns over the way people are running the things. Appointments shouldn't be canceled or changed without prior notice. I mean, they ask us as patients to do a 24-hour notice, right? So, I mean, for them to up and turn around and change his date or his times, because I'm his driver, I got to know what's going on. And when I drive over to pick his meds up, I expect him to be ready when he calls in 6 days prior, not have to sit and wait an hour or 2 hours. I expect when I order stuff that it should be done and ready, even if my doctor's gone. So I just wanted to bring this up to you. Something's got to be done over at that health center. There's a lot of issues with appointments not being taken care of, meds not being taken care of, and schedules. So that's why they were here today. That's why I come back to bring this up to them. So I appreciate it if something gets done, because a lot of people are disappointed. They're driving long distances to get here to have to sit and wait, and they shouldn't have to be. So, thank you.
Well, I apologize for the inconvenience and the lack of communication regarding the appointment being canceled. We do have a process and policy in place of how appointments get canceled or rescheduled. And without knowing the specifics, I'll be speaking in generalities. If you could provide me that information, I can follow through on the specifics. We do have a complaint process that comes through, and those complaints are in the report. We track each and every complaint that comes to us. So if you look at our report from last quarter, we had pharmacy-related complaints are zero for that quarter. We had two others, four patient registration, one dental triage. There's no complaints for that quarter in pharmacy. That doesn't mean that there are not issues happening. There are issues happening, and if we get those information through the complaint process, we can address those. We have had technical glitches with the QS1 system, which is the pharmacy system. They went through upgrade, and as they went through an upgrade, they had to shut down the IVR, which is the interactive voice response system, which is what is used when patients call in refills. The refill happens automatically through the, when you call in with fill in prescription, you have a refill number. You put in the RX number. That information from the QS1 system goes directly to the EMR system, where the physician gets the request, and then the request gets responded to and goes back to pharmacy. To the other point about doctors being on vacation and their requests, As an example, I've been in a HRD training today. I was there in my lunch break, and I look at my inbox every day, and I can speak for myself, and I know my team. Every physician or mid-level practitioner that is off has an alternate. So there's an on-call schedule. There's a covering schedule that's distributed to all the nurses, and all the pharmacy is aware of that too. So I can speak to my inbox, which is the GE Centricity. As of 12:30, there was zero messages in my inbox. Now, if there is a message that went from pharmacy and didn't come to the GE system, that's a technical glitch that we have been aware of that was fixed as of last week. And we had a meeting with pharmacy and with triage nursing to better communicate that process, because if that communication loop doesn't get completed, pharmacy is thinking it's a glitch in the GE system, and the GE folks are assuming it's a glitch in the pharmacy system. So we did do a root cause analysis of that, and the glitch was in the QS1 system that, to my knowledge, was fixed as of last week. So I would appreciate if you could provide those specific instances so we can go back and review those and address those issues.
Okay, well, this is the first we're hearing about them, so we'll have Mr. Graham follow up. And you know, I know things come up from time to time, but it's helpful to know you have something in place. Jenny?
I just wanted to comment that there is another option. You can always go to town and pay for your prescriptions. I mean, if I can't wait for 2 hours, that's on me. I have to go to town and pay for that. That's, you know, that's just always an option.
That's not the point. The point is, when an elder calls in and places his prescriptions ahead of time to a person, he doesn't use the machine. And then when you get there and you're told they're not filled because pharmacy had to take it over to the doctor, they fax everything over there. This is all supposed to be done ahead of time, Jenny, so that when the person gets there to pick up their prescriptions, they're ready. Like I said, my aunt was there that day. She's from Appleton. She had to sit and wait also. Lucky enough, there's stuff I can do over here in order to kill that time. But the point is, I'm coming over here purposely to get his pills. And other people are driving long distances too, and they expect them to be ready. Now, that day when my prescription wasn't filled, the pharmacist actually walked down to your office, Mr. Veer. And he talked to you personally, so. But the point is, I don't like hearing what you just said. When people call ahead of time, they're courteous enough to do it, it should be ready for them. There shouldn't be no excuses, period.
Okay, thank you. I think it's clear that there are some issues around, you know, delivery of the system and whatever transpired. I'm sure there will be attention to that. And it's not about, you know, just about having to wait. It's about, you know, there was just an expectation that they'd be ready, and you know, they are elders, they're driving a distance. We do pay for this service. This is what, you know, our tribal funds are used for, to serve our tribal members. So we, you know, we're all in this together, so we all have to understand, like you said earlier, you're filling 1,000 scripts a day. That's a extremely high volume of service that's being provided to the community and to the employee and to the tribal member. Whether that tribal member is insured or not, that's the purpose and the function of the healthcare delivery system, which includes pharmacy. So I think we really need to be, you know, understanding of everybody's role and move forward. So anything else on the health report? Now, there's a motion to approve the report. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is a corporate report for the OTI, Totally Integrated Enterprises. Mm-hmm. Butch, if you wouldn't mind being brief about the highlights, only because we're
have
people waiting. And
Otay had a successful year. We're scheduled, we'll be paying our scheduled $200,000 distribution to the tribe. We did have less than our projected revenues because of the government shutdown. We didn't really lose that money. It was just pushed over, you know, delayed. So we will be making that up this next fiscal year. We did have an excellent fourth quarter, and we had $26 million worth of backlog added. So that will help for our next year. I guess that's all that I don't need to go into the other stuff unless you have questions.
Okay. Thank you, Melinda.
I'd like to make a motion to accept the OTI report.
Second.
And just thank you because we reported three times this week to the business committee at shareholders meeting last week, executive session yesterday, and today. So I think we've heard a lot about OTI last week.
All right. Thank you.
There's a motion by Melinda, second by DeHasse, to approve the OTI report. And yeah, I understand that we did have our shareholder meeting last week. And unfortunately, I was in D.C. at the time, so when you can't be everywhere.
Yeah.
But thank you.
Right.
So with that, there's a motion. If there are no other questions or comments, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Are you going to represent the OASC?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the OASC is we're projecting that it'll be the in 2015, it'll finally start turning a profit. It did have $1 million worth of revenue last year, but the expenses, it still was operating at a loss. It takes several years to get the recognition and the history that so you can get contracts. But we do have $10 million worth of backlog for MES-2 this year, so it will be making a profit, but it you know, so that's. And the other thing is it's projected in 2016, late 2016, early 2017, that's when we're projecting to move all of the overhead up into OESC and start that restructure. And I'll be keeping the liaisons and the business committee informed of how that's progressing.
You reported that there were no employees, but you have board, and the board.
Yeah, we have the board for OESC, but that's Jackie Zalem, myself, and Jeff House.
Is there a cost for the board?
A minimal cost. I think they have a $50 stipend, but we haven't even been. We've been doing. I think we had two meetings. It's just been hard to. So it's minimal. We don't have much board expense there.
You know, it says for the assets, you have customers of 956 of revenue from federal clients. I'm not quite sure what that statement represents.
For OESC?
Yeah, in your report. On
yeah, most of the work that OESC does is for Air Force Base in California. That's the reason MS-2 is the only one that's really making revenue. And the reason we formed MS-2 is because OTI graduated out of the construction area at the 33.5 cap, and in order to try and retain some of that for the tribe, we asked and you gave us permission to form MS-2 in the construction area, and it takes a couple of years to get it in, but we had an excellent project manager, her name is Susan Thompson out there that has a really good reputation, and now she's finally starting to get some
some decent-sized projects out in California. So it takes a while to build the history so you can get the larger contracts. They gave her smaller ones right away, but now we're starting to get some larger ones.
Would you, as a follow-up, provide myself and the committee with a financial report for the OESC? Because if it says if you have, well, it says your fiscal end 2014 shows a loss of $275,032. You said you made some money, so there must be some kind of a financial report that goes with the OESC.
The report shows the revenues and that the bottom line is that we did lose $275,000. And that's OTI has to fund them, but we have to do it with a loan because we have to follow the SBA regulations. We can't give them the money. They have to have a loan. They have to also contract for the services that OTI provides, like the accounting, the billing, the marketing, and so that.
So there has to be some kind of a financial report that goes with what you just described for the loan that's on the books for the OESC.
Yeah, I can.
And if the OTI is doing in-kind services for this entity, there has to be something that links that or describes that in a financial picture. And if there's a loan made between the two entities,
that
needs to be in a financial report as well. So I would like, as a follow-up, for you to provide something.
Okay, I can do that.
That'd be great.
No, I will.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Hope you had a good vacation.
Yeah, I did.
You were gone for 2 weeks.
It was good. My wife had planned it for since last May, and so it was
great.
It's good.
Glad you made it back. All right. I don't have any other questions on this.
Thank you.
Report. Anybody else have any questions or comments? We'll leave. Jenny.
Make a motion to approve the report.
Support.
It's motion by Jenny to approve the report, seconded by DeHasse. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions, motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item is Boards, Committees, and Commissions, Southeast Oneida Tribal Services Advisory Board report. No report submitted. My office did contact them again, and we got an email response back from Jackie Zalem that she would get something to us. That was it. It was like one sentence. She said, well, this is unfortunate. I'll get back to you soon or something like that. So there was an email that went out, and the response back was that. So I don't know what more to do with this item.
In the correspondence that you sent to them, did we give them a specific timeline to get us back information? I thought you mentioned
it's months late, so how much more time should we give them? And then she said she would get back to us, so I'm just
I'm just asking for clarification.
I don't have any more information. I believe the committee was copied on the correspondence, so you're right. More than welcome to respond to the correspondence.
Is Jackie the chair?
I think she's the vice chair. I don't really know offhand. I believe she's the vice chair of the CS board. Okay. Or interim chair, one of the two.
I was able to find your memo real quickly, and according to the correspondence that you gave them, and I understand that she already contacted you, but you did indicate to them that we needed to receive the report no later than Tuesday, January 6th, and that they must contact you prior to December 18th. So I think the first part's been completed, and we've already given them the deadline of January 6th. So I think, I'm not sure if there's anything more we need to do with this report at this time, because we gave them a deadline specific already.
Well, that's when their next report is due, so hopefully we'll have two quarters of reports come January. I mean, I knew there was no meeting at the end of this month, so... like I said, you're all more than welcome to tag on to the correspondence. You're all copied on it. Jenny?
I'd like to offer a motion that if we don't receive a report by next month, then we move forward with dissolution of this board.
Is Is that a motion?
Yes, please.
There's a motion to notify the CIATS board that if no further report is submitted by January 6th, that the committee will move forward on a dissolution. That is the motion. Is there support?
Support.
Motion by Jenny, second by Linda. Any questions or comments specific to the motion?
No, I just want to say thank you for making sure that that correspondence got to them.
Any other questions or comments? If not, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a for-the-record comment. And my for-the-record is the fact that the CIATS board has been notified since November that the report has been delinquent. The business committee has sent several correspondences notifying them of the delinquent reports. And we did indicate in the last correspondence that dissolution of the board would be considered by the committee, and therefore we are going to move forward. There has been attendance problems as well as quorum issues and reporting issues from the CIATS board for the past few years. So I think it's time to evaluate whether or not this board is absolutely necessary.
Since October.
Okay, thank you for your statement. Any other for the record statements? If not, we'll move on. Next item is a report for the Oneida Child Protective Board.
Good morning.
Or afternoon, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Good afternoon.
A little nervous here.
Good morning.
I don't know why that happens either.
So the Child Protection Board, unfortunately, we weren't able to have a board member here this afternoon. So you guys are stuck with me, sorry. But Child Protection Board has been meeting regularly. They meet on Thursdays evenings. On a weekly basis, due to cost containment, they will not be doing any training outside of the state. They will be going local only. Several members did attend the multi-jurisdictional conference in November. They have had a number of cases. In September, they had 15 cases, in October, 34, and in November, 29. And that number fluctuates quite a bit, depending on what's going on with the courts and the kids.
Are those all new cases, or are those carryover cases from month to month?
Some of them are brand new, and some of them are ongoing. Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Jenny?
Question. Is that why the board meets weekly, because of those
cases? Yes, because the cases are always, majority of the cases are ongoing, and anytime a child is moved from, let's say, an out-of-home placement or even from a foster home or let's say they're moved from a treatment center to a foster home. Anytime a child is moved, the board is notified, and they also need to be making recommendations on behalf of where those children are placed.
Okay, thank you.
Melinda.
Make a motion to accept the report.
Second.
Motion by Melinda, second by Fawn, to accept the Child Protective Board report. Any further questions or comments? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, Twyla.
Thank you.
The next item is the Anna John Resident Center Care Community Board report.
Good afternoon. And I have the quarterly report for July, August, and September. And the purpose of our board is to serve in the advisory capacity, ensuring operations of the Anna John Resident-Centered Care Community are within the guidelines and policies of the Oneida Tribe of Indians of Wisconsin, and within all regulations, rules, policies governing the operation of a nursing home. And also the board ensures the AGRCC maintains a safe and sanitary environment while providing quality care and services to residents of the facility and is ordered by each resident attending physician. And during July, August, and September was about 42 residents, adding or subtracting a few as things happen with the patients. And Debbie also gave an update on the AGRCC. And if you have any questions, and if you read my report, the highlights, I would appreciate any questions you have that maybe I can answer. If not, I will look it up and bring them back to you.
I probably should have asked Debbie when she was here, but where are we in the process of getting certification for veterans to be in the facility, or are they already admitted?
I'm not sure on that. I know they are still getting some paperwork done. I don't know if Melinda might know a little bit on that.
I asked that question a few weeks ago to the Health Center Administration. There was some hang-up with the feds around the way that we process financials. They were having a problem with how the state formatted, and so there were some financial issues. But my understanding is that the agreement is ready to go, and they're just waiting for the feds to sign. So as soon as we get the signatures, we will hopefully receive the certification shortly after.
And I think at our last meeting that Dave Larson had mentioned that same thing on that.
Yep. Okay, well, maybe in your next report we'll have more information. If maybe you want to take a note that that's something we could find
okay.
out.
Okay, I'll find out. We have a meeting next Tuesday, and usually Dave Larson and Debbie comes and the Nola Fennel, I forgot her last name. Nola Feldkamp. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Otherwise, everything was going quite well there, as you read in the report. And you know, they just had a few complaints, I think, that Debbie mentioned, and they were addressed and taken care of. And if we anybody brings a complaint to us, we'll address it to the to Nola, and she'll usually let us know what happens with it, and usually takes care of it.
Lisa?
Motion to accept the Anna John Resident Care Center Care Community Board report.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, second by Jenny to approve the Anna John Resident Center Care Community Board report. Any other questions or comments? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, Carol.
Okay. I'm just going to stay up here because we have the on-call board with them.
Okay. Commission on Aging.
Going to come up and do that. And if I add something, I might.
I guess I feel kind of like Twyla. Wes has gone to a funeral. Lois is out sick. My brother, I think, is still honeymooning, so that leaves just Carol and I. the primary focus yet, if you on your report that we gave you, is the long-term care services and support. Communication is a continuous with our tribal elders and community and elder service staff. And training and education for ANACOA staff. What we've incorporated within the last, I think, 3 months has been a lot of training with webinars. During the month of November, we had, I think, about 3 webinars. And now they're going to try to have more of that kind of training twice a month. And we have them right there at Elder Services. So I guess when I think of the cost cutting, that's something I think that is real good for us to have. There's no cost, and the staff and us get training. The next part here on Elder Village, I just want to give you a little update on that. We had our meeting yesterday, and we met with the housing and the Mike Showers the architect. And we have one of the duplexes on Henry Road that got started yesterday. And the Elder Village cottages are going to be started on April 3rd, 2015. And so those are things that are on their way. And let me see. And I think the rest is pretty much what you usually get in our quarterly report. There was one I gave a new quarterly report, updated, a new one on your old one on page 3, that first bullet, it had Oneida Elder Services. We had our meeting, and that was a mistake. That should be Oneida Health Center. And so I did give you an updated second copy of the quarterly report. And I believe that is all that I wanted to bring to your attention. Carol, you got anything else?
The only other thing that I was thinking about was that was important is that money follows the person initiative. And that one is, I think, real important. And I think Melinda, again, is one of the people that are involved with that and knows probably more than, much more than I do know on it. So, Melinda, do you have something to add to that?
No, the Money Follows Initiative, Money Follows the Person in Tribal Initiative is being handled by Dave Larson and Debbie Danforth, and so they've been following that issue pretty closely. I haven't, that they would involve me if there was any kind of political implications or legislative needs out of that program, and I haven't heard anything too horrible about it, but I think we're more concerned about the family care issue and its implementation in Brown County at this point. The one comment I did want to make was that I did receive a request from UNCOA to look at the ADRC reps. Currently, Kathy Hughes is appointed to serve as the ADRC reps in Ottagamie and Brown County. And so I did receive that. And just so you know, I am following up. I finally located the resolutions again and following up with Debbie Danforth on that issue as well to see if there's an alternate appointment, or at least try to get the information exchange to occur with UNCOA and Elderly Services. So.
And with Money Follows a Person, I've been kind of with Lois and Wes going to those meetings. And what I find, just for myself, it's kind of like frustrating because it just doesn't seem like it's moving along. And you go to a meeting and you're hearing the same thing. And it's like, okay, you say we're moving along, but, you know, it doesn't seem like that way to me. I just hear the same stuff after 3 meetings. I'm hearing the same things from all the tribes in regard to that. Dave Larson, I know, was to attend them, but he hasn't been. So I don't know where he's, you know, at with that. And I think that's something, you know, Florence will have to probably follow up with him.
I know he missed the last meeting because he went with Jenny to Michigan to attend the IHS Bemidji
Jenny's
area.
Fault.
So I know that he had attended a couple of the meetings in a row previous to that. So I know that he's been involved or at least has the information. The chairwoman and I will be attending the Department of Health and Human Services Tribal State Consultation, where the Money Follows the Person initiative is on the agenda for an update. So we definitely can monitor that when we're at the meeting and then report back to you guys when at the conclusion of the meeting. And
it's good to know.
And then we can discuss whether or not we're actually moving or not. So we'll have an update then.
Okay, that sounds good.
If you have any questions, you know, let us know prior to Monday, and we can address them at the meeting. It's a consultation meeting on Monday.
I'll let Florence know to let you, you know, if she has anything to, you know, shoot you, one of you.
Both of us.
Yeah, both of you. Because I imagine, I'm thinking she does.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay. I make a motion to accept the report.
Florence did send a report from that, too.
Yes, she does.
Second.
Motion by Melinda, second by Lisa, to accept on call reports. Questions or comments on the reports? If no other comments, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, too.
Thank you for waiting all day. All right, that concludes our agenda. Unless there's anything else, we will then go on to a meeting with some of the managers over at the development area. So until we conclude the meeting, then we will have that. So any other items? I believe we covered everything. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Fawn.
Second.
Second by DeHasse. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Adjourn at 2:45. Thank you.